Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Matt, we are here to talk about the song Talk Soup,
yeah,
which was from, according to the Wikipedia, song Talk Soup is about a man who desires to go on television and tell the world about his strange life and was originally commissioned to be the new theme song for the E! Entertainment television show of the same name. Although the producers approved the lyrics and enjoyed the final result, they decided against using it, which we'll get into. I think I could understand why. But when I was a kid, specifically the John Henson era of Talk Soup was one of my cannot miss shows.
And I have to say that I did not watch Talk Soup.
Do you even know what Talk Soup was?
I know,
back in the day.
I know
a lot with Joel McHale.
Yes, I was going to say, and I did watch that one more, The Soup with Joel McHale.
Yeah.
That was more the time where I was watching a lot of that type of television, so I had a connection to it. And I knew that it was based on the older show. I've seen little bits of the older show, but I certainly was not like a devotee like it seems like you were. So you're definitely going to be taking the lead on this part of the conversation.
So here's why I have my entire life, I would say, as a creator, and this is what drew me to podcasting, I think, I've chased down the desire to capture what Talk Soup meant to me.
Mm.
The closest thing that I can compare Talk Soup to is if you are a Seth Meyers fan and you watch his weekly YouTube series Corrections.
Yeah.
That is what Talk Soup used to be, which was a guy who was very funny by himself in a studio with just a small skeleton crew of probably two cameramen, a sound guy, and a lighting guy, and him just trying to make them laugh for an hour.
Yeah.
While making fun of clips from talk shows. So,
yeah, we had talked a little bit about how the pandemic made everyone into this format for a little while.
For a little bit.
Where all these late night hosts were doing the show from their living rooms to nobody.
Yeah.
And how interesting that was to see the different approaches to it and how certain comedians really struggled with that.
That's how I became a Seth Meyers fan. I feel like he handled it so well.
Seth Meyers did a really good job, and I thought that John Oliver also really, really did well with that format. But a lot of them, I mean, it's so hard, especially when you're doing those monologues. It's like not having an audience to react to your, like, comedy needs that reaction. Otherwise, you don't know. It's so made to, there's a reason why stand-ups don't do specials just where they're talking to the camera. A couple of them exist, but they're pretty rare.
So I'll have to send this to you because I've been digitizing VHS tapes.
Yes.
And a recent VHS tape that I digitized was one episode of Talk Soup that was my absolute favorite episode. And it was literally, so usually Talk Soup would be like a roundup of like, here's the craziest things that happened on late night talk shows and on daytime, like Geraldo and Ricky Lake and stuff like that. Like, it was like, what are the, for those of you who aren't watching this stuff, here's the most outrageous moment from all of those shows. But I think what I taped was like their highlights of the year.
Mm.
And one of the few things I remember about this was that it aired during Easter. So he was having an Easter egg hunt. He was trying to find 5 Easter eggs inside the clips, which was always just like shitty green screen of him just like sticking his hand into a shot and pulling an egg out. And if I remember correctly, that exact same time was when Kenny G like broke the world record for sustaining the longest single note on an instrument or whatever.
I remember that happening.
So
yeah.
He would just keep cutting to the footage. He's like, all right, let's check in on Kenny's progress. And it would just be like the same footage of him holding the note. But that's where I discovered so many like weird shows. And like, that was where I first really learned about Jerry Springer, was through the clips that they would play. I will send you the digitized file that I have.
Yeah, please
that
do.
Talk Soup episode.
Please do.
And we could talk about it in the mailbag. You could watch it and be like,
oh,
you
there
know
you
what?
Go.
This
good idea.
Great. This is great. But, I think that podcasting, doing stuff with Geekscape, doing the live stream, like I've always said, the live stream holiday special stuff is like my perfect world of melding Talk Soup and UHF into like a single thing. So Weird Al doing the theme song to Talk Soup should be my shit. Like this should be this should be the home run to end all home runs. And I don't love it. Is what I walked away with. Now, you said before we even hit record, very astutely, this is a Peter Gabriel style parody. It's not listed as such, but it undeniably is.
So it's not listed as such. It's so like this came up before, right? Because Waffle King is coming up on this record, which is also very, very much in the style of like Sledgehammer.
Yeah.
By Peter Gabriel. This is not as songs like. No, this absolutely is Peter Gabriel. Like, it is so weird to me. And again, this is hard to, because we really like to just talk about the one song we're talking about. But just for a moment here, it feels like he went for the same target twice on one record, which is just so odd and very out of character for Al. And for years, honestly, I got these two songs very mixed up in my head. Like, they just blend into each other. Waffle King and Talk Soup just feel like they are this... Like, I don't know. It's very easy for my brain to enter the other song as I'm listening to it. So I agree with you. I mean, to me, actually, I actually feel like this is the song where, not that we haven't had some like only okay stuff in the middle hit. To me, when this song starts is when the album starts to kind of take a turn down to me.
Yeah.
I like... Looking at the track listing now, the first half of this record, this 12-song album, this is track 7, so we're right entering side B, if we want to look at it that way. And side B is a little bit tougher for me. There's not as much for me to love here, and I would definitely include Talk Soup in there. I don't think it's bad, but, I mean, we also talked about through the lens of, through Achy Breaky Song, how this album feels kind of... businessy and shrewd for him. And I think the fact that this is a commissioned TV show theme that didn't get used, that wound up on the record anyway, just adds to that feeling of like, I don't think this isn't a creative choice. Although it's interesting because it does hit on some interesting themes and stuff that Al will go back to later.
Well, so that's what I was going to say. So there's a couple things here. First of all, I think I understand why they turned this down, because it doesn't really feel like a theme song to a show. Like, the only part that I could ever see them using is just the Talk Soup part.
They could use the refrain, the Talk Soup, or the Listen to Me.
Even
you know,
the Listen to Me, though, I don't think is as catchy as he wants it to be.
I think that's right. Yeah. I mean, like I have this from his website, which I always like to reference real quick. Someone said... a question from Lori Weber. I read that Talk Soup was going to be the new theme song for the E! Channel show of the same name. How come they never used it? And Al says, well, to put it bluntly, they kind of jerked me around. The producers of the show approached me, asking me to do a new theme song. I wrote the lyrics, which they approved, and then I recorded the song, which they said they loved, and then they never used it. Go figure.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you another, because you mentioned the Listen to Me. And I can't help but notice every single time that Listen to Me part starts, it almost feels like he hits a bad note on the first me, right? Like,
and he kind of squeaks up, which again, I have to say, that to
that
me
Peter
sounds
Gabriel
like Peter Gabriel.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of an affect. Listen to me. Like he kind of like, it flies up a little bit in a weird way. Like to me, that sounds like Peter Gabriel.
It is a very weird thing that, and man, like the chorus isn't that catchy. Like the Talk Soup, ba da 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 da.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah,
but
it's nice.
The Listen to Me part with the backup vocals isn't as good as it should be. But, I mean, it's hard for us to talk about this song and not also talk about Jerry Springer because it is the exact same song.
it's very similar. It's also, so Jerry Springer hits a similar mark later. I mean, that's easily the most close scenario.
And it makes sense because, like I just said, a lot of people who maybe didn't know about Jerry Springer at first discovered it probably through watching Talk Soup.
Probably.
Because, I mean, you could not, to think about even watching UHF and what he does making fun of Geraldo's show pales in comparison to what the mid-90s Jerry Springer shows.
It's true. Like, oh, yeah. No, this was just the beginning of what would blow up until the point where it hit critical mass and then just like kind of failed because it was like no one can take it any further than this. But and public opinion changed. He's nailing a lot of it.
Data Siamese twins. I would be interested to find out how many of these, because I know with Jerry Springer, almost every single thing that he says is almost directly an episode name of Jerry Springer.
Yes.
I'm very curious how many of these were Sally, Jesse, and Geraldo episode topics. Like, my dog's epileptic, my mom's a circus freak, I dated Siamese twins.
Would
like,
Ricky Lake have been on around this time, too?
Ricky Lake would have, as someone who just uploaded a commercial compilation from 1997... it may be a little early for Ricky.
Gotcha. Fair enough. Again, I'm going by my references from my childhood, which would have been a little bit later than this. But
like, there's so much here where I'm like, yeah, I could see some of this. My wife ran off with Elvis would absolutely have been something that I could have seen.
Yeah.
My boss shaved off my hair 1,000%.
And we're going to come back to this with Jerry Springer because there's a lot of... There are a lot of lines in Jerry Springer and some in this too. I mean, you know, the term Siamese twins is not something people really use anymore.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of language that is kind of like abrasive and shocking in these songs. And the fact that he is quoting the source material. So I know like Jerry Springer comes up a lot in Al lists as like one of his more problematic tracks, but it's also like he is quoting another medium. It's not a super fair thing to put those words in his mouth. I mean, he's singing them, but they come from somewhere else.
No, I would say that it's almost at that point, because we've said this about Al before. Al is also, as much as he is a song parodist, he is a pop culture historian.
Yes.
And I almost feel like when you look at something like Talk Soup and Jerry Springer, it's not the same as saying, you know, people always say like, well, it was acceptable at the time. I actually think that Al is of the opinion that it isn't acceptable at the time.
Yeah.
And he is actually cataloging, hey, here's the stuff that's just on television at noon right now.
yeah, exactly. And this is where, so the other song comparison I was going to make, which is coming much closer around the bend here, which I'm very excited to talk about, is I see some comparison with this track and Headline News.
Yep.
Which is a different spin on it, but the idea is what Al is doing in this song is Al is calling out these people who are exploiting themselves.
Yes.
On television. Like, the shows are doing it, but these people, again, it's like people, like these embarrassing scenarios in life and then being like, listen to me talking about something that no one would ever want to talk about publicly, because you'd rather have the attention is what matters, whether it's positive or negative. And that's what this song is. Again, all of it is like, again, to go back to the first, like, or go forward to the first pre-chorus, I'm just an anorexic, codependent, bingo addict, stripper born without a chin, and I'm only comfortable talking about it when the whole wide world is listening in.
Yeah. Well, and that's, so it's so funny because, you know, we're recording this the day after Valentine's Day. You're hearing it in April. But I have a friend that I follow on Facebook. I've never met this man in my life. He's my favorite Facebook person to follow because he posts zero statuses. And all he does all day is post random screenshots from movies and television with no context whatsoever that just happen to tie into the day. And yesterday, one of the many things he posted was a screenshot from an old episode of Ricky Lake that had just this surfer dude looking guy, and it said, Mike wants to tell his Valentine crush that she has bodacious bozengas. Like,
yeah,
but that was like, he signed up to be on television for that. You know what
and
I mean?
So
like,
that's where these shows get interesting, because you get to a place of like, who's exploiting who here?
Yeah.
This is clearly exploitative entertainment. That's what it's made to do. The network is getting this wild person to come on this TV and make a statement that no one else is willing to make. And that guy gets attention and gets to go on TV. And you're talking about, like, I loved what you just said about, like, Al is a documentarian of pop culture, a pop culture historian. And this is a piece of pop culture that is gross.
Yeah.
But it's still real. It's a real thing. It still exists to this day, of course, with reality shows and stuff. Like, these people who, like, who are willing to do or say anything to get on television and to get famous or get attention or whatever it is we want to say about, you know, like, however you want to describe it.
Yeah.
And that's super real. And, I mean, we might have changed the way we do it a little bit from Talk Soup to now, but it's still, like, a very human and just a part of our entertainment infrastructure that Al is addressing here, and that he will, again, continue to. I think this is the first example of this particular brand of it.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds Gummy Clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come baby come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
A couple other lines that jump out to me. I actually think that these two particular ones are quite funny. Is the I'm just a cross-dressing alcoholic neo-Nazi porn star, as you may have guessed. Like just the absurdity of that. And then I have no genitalia. I sold my kids for cheese. I love my blow-up doll, so bring out the camera, please, because I got to tell the world about it right now.
Yeah. Like,
it's insane, and it's weird, and it's all of those things, but I think that this is one of those things where, like, I think that if Al is anything like me, there is this weird line of being wildly turned off by how intensely vulgar and insulting it is, and also, like a car crash, morbidly curious and can't look away at the exact same time.
I think he must absolutely feel that way. Again, it's a recurring theme in all of his stuff. This is a TV song, really, right? And
yeah, I mean, I was going to say, this is bouncing. This is a perfect companion piece to last album's I Can't Watch This.
Exactly, exactly. Like, and Al, in anything TV related, pretty much, he is, with the exception of Frank's 2000 Inch TV, which we talked about. Well, generally speaking,
I actually think this is a really weird thing to throw out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Al, we love him to death. Al, listen, we love you. If this is the episode you tune into, I want to preface how much we love you.
I think
as we enter this time period of the 90s, it's ironic that the last album song of the 80s was Good Old Days to me. Because
I like that.
I mean,
that's
if you
true.
don't in, if you don't include UHF soundtrack as like an actual album, which I kind of don't, I think that we get from this point on, I think that Al has a little bit of the good old days when it comes to television, because I think he sees television as a very special communal thing, and he will celebrate what he thinks is good television. Like we said, him talking about The Simpsons in Frank's 2000-inch TV. But, you know, he does stuff like Talk Soup. I can't watch this. He does Jerry Springer. Like, when he's talking about television a lot of the time, it's kind of making fun of how gross and depraved television has gotten. But then we still get on Bad Hair Day something like Syndicate It, Incorporate It, which is about loving watching these old reruns.
It's true.
Like, I think that it
no,
wasn't...
No,
I think that Al has, at least Al in the 90s, I think Al in the 90s had a very nostalgia missing of, like, what made him like television as a kid. Mm-hmm. That, like, the 90s into the early 2000s was a complete dead zone. Just a very dark time. Because then when we get to later albums, it's a lot less of that. And all of a sudden now we're getting Al, like, doing the theme song for 30 Rock for an episode, or like showing up on like what is kind of the gold, like we're back into a golden age of television right now. And I don't think that it's an accident that Al's not writing like almost like Old Man Yells at Cloud songs about what's being shown on television as much.
It's true. I mean, well, that's a really interesting like macro point, Matt. I like that, because you're right. I mean, his lyric, he does. I mean, okay, so he will cover TV again, as we noted, like there's a Syndicated Incorporated is coming up, Couch Potato on Poodle Hat. There is going to continue to be that sort of content, but he moves into like a more modern, he winds up writing songs about Craigslist and about like he does switch into a more modern internet based medium or like to a reference point for people, because TV did lose its power for a little while there. It's kind of back, although now it's also back through the umbrella of the internet, because how many people are watching TV despite not having cable TV anymore?
So, Matt.
Yes.
Sorry, I got curious on if this made it onto the TV album, because I never owned the TV album.
Yes.
And I just went onto the Wikipedia page for the TV album. Now, if you're on the Alapalooza track list, it just lists this as an original. If you're on the TV album on Wikipedia track list, it lists it as a style parody of Peter Gabriel's song Steam.
Steam. That makes sense. Like, that makes, there you go. There you go. I mean, again, I don't think that's, I'm always curious where people get those things from. I don't know where that would have, I didn't see anything specifically with Al noting Peter Gabriel on this track. Sometimes he just will straight up say it. But that is what I think is correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not even just like us throwing out a suspicion now. It is documented somewhere.
Usually
if that pops up, that means that there is some, maybe we just some haven't found somewhere. It, but some point where someone referenced, yes, this is in fact inspired by this song.
Yeah.
Which, well, I'm not familiar with the song Steam by Peter Gabriel, but I know that you're a bigger Gabriel head than me. So
it checks out.
Yeah.
It checks out. It checks out. So, I mean, anyway, back to your larger point, I think that in terms of Al with TV, I think a lot of this stuff all points to this, exactly this sort of like inherent clash and the internal struggle of like, this is garbage, but I still find myself watching it. And kind of like hate watching stuff. And I'm like, I get, how many songs do we have now where he is referencing how much he loves watching something that is bad? Brady Bunch or Beverly Hillbillies. Or, I mean, I guess he doesn't say anything bad about the Beverly Hillbillies, really.
He just sings the lyrics at that point. But
he just sings the lyrics.
I mean, again, we usually try to pretend that things that happen later don't happen for the sake of the show. But, I mean, in like we said, it's hard to not also compare to Jerry Springer. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to find the exact line that he says. It's totally worthless, like a bad check. It's like a train wreck. You don't want to stare, but you can't look away. Yeah. And I think that that sums up how he feels about a lot of these shows. It's like, because, man, I got pulled into it too. Like, if I was like flipping through the channels and Jerry Springer was on, I would find myself watching at least 5 to 10 minutes of it.
Just oh, like, everybody, right, everybody did yeah. that for everything. And again, it's for like loads of current shows as well. Like, I mean,
listen, I just there are plenty of people binging all the new episododes of Love Is Blind. I don't like a single person on this.
Yeah, season. That's the thing.
But I'm
going, like,
to finish it.
How many people? How many people are willing to go out in public and be like, "I think Vanderpump Rules is amazing"?
Yeah,
like, of course not. But people watch these shows religiously.
I mean, and even a better reference is 90 Day Fiancé. It's like, how many spinoffs of 90 Day Fiancé are there right now?
There
There's
you
like
go.
Eight
perfect.
Of them.
Perfect. But yeah, like, yeah.
But yeah, it's. I don't know, man. Reality TV is such a weird topic because, boy, do I like watch it religiously. And I think it, you know, my buddy Kyle talked about this one time because him and his wife watch Sister Wives together all the time because he works near home. She works from home. So he would walk home for lunch and they would put on Sister Wives. And he's like, it's not a good show, but that's why it's so great. It's so low stakes for them.
Yeah.
To just like throw on, you could pop on any episode. It doesn't matter. Like, and I think that there is there is that charm of reality television of like, it's both something that you're very high stakes in the sense of these people are human beings and you like,
yeah.
you sometimes find characters that you really like and you can follow them on Instagram and the, mm-hmm. the story and the drama never ends in that sense. You just follow them for the rest of their lives ultimately.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it's also super low stakes. You don't know these people. They don't mean anything to you. And like after their season is done, they're gone essentially.
Right.
And you just move on with it.
Yeah. I was going to say as well, like what a great, in that sense, isn't Talk Soup the perfect representation of this exact thing that Al is talking about here, which is the show is making fun. Talk Soup is making fun
of
all of these shows while also giving them to you, like acknowledging in this format that you still, even making fun of it, you still want to watch it.
Yeah.
It's distilling the best moments or the most dramatic moments or the most crazy moments from those shows and presenting them to you in rapid fire. But it's the idea of like, oh, I don't need to watch the whole. That it's like the equivalent of like, I don't need to watch an entire episode of Saturday Night Live because I can look up a couple YouTube clips of certain sketches the next day and not bother with the rest of it. Like that really kind of sums up the whole thing, doesn't it? Like, I know this is dumb. I know I hate it, but also I really want to see it.
Yeah.
That's what Al's. And that's why this is a good. It's a shame this didn't. I mean, I agree with you, Matt, that I don't think if the goal was to write a theme song, I don't see how this could have been. This doesn't make sense to me as a theme song.
No.
Maybe there was an alternate cut with a different edit or different lyrics or just reduced to some other thing. But I can understand why Al would have found the appeal. I think this speaks to a certain, you know, attitude and pop culture reference that is very him. So that part I find very interesting. And I, like I said, I like the idea of the lyric of this song going over all of these things and sort of like very gently ridiculing these people for, you know, proudly flaunting their flaws on TV in exchange for attention. I totally get all that. Honestly, this is one of those songs where lyrically, I don't mind this song at all. Musically, this falls flat to me.
Yeah.
And it just does not feel that interesting to listen to. It feels long. We talked about Traffic Jam feeling kind of long. This also feels long to me.
It sounds like we're getting close to some ranking.
It does sound like we're getting close to some rankings. Although I have to say that this is definitely one where our conversation has, I think, nudged it up a little bit for me.
Yeah.
I
think this is perfectly in the middle for me. I mean, it's a low part of the middle, but I'll tell you where I'm putting it right now.
Do it.
Is I'm plopping it right in between I'll Be Mellow When I'm Dead and Young, Dumb, and Ugly. So kind of smack in the middle right now, which makes it on my list right now the second best original on Alapalooza. But we're talking about almost a 20 song spacing between Frank's 2000 inch TV and this one. So take that however you want, listeners. But that's where I'm putting it right now.
I am going to put it definitely lower than that. But it's not going to crack my bottom five, which I thought it might have actually for a minute there. Oh, wait, is it? Maybe it will actually. Hang on. yeah, you know what? It's going to be. Yeah. Again, Matt in real time is moving my songs around and he just dropped it right in the right place. It's going to go just below No, you know what? Up one. It's going to go just above cable TV.
All right.
I like it a little bit more than that. It's going to go, because I think it's a more interesting lyrical premise. I like the sentiment behind this song more than that. So it's going to, for me, in between Gotta Boogie, the glorious Gotta Boogie, and cable TV. That's where I'm putting this track.
Perfect.
One more thing, Matt. Did you notice I saw this online and I had never clocked it before. At the very, very end of Talk Soup, the outro loops for a long time. And then at the very end, it ends with one final thing. And do you realize what it is?
No, what is it?
It's just him and the backing vocalist just going E, as in the network E.
Oh.
You almost think it's going to be a final me, because that's the listen to me. But the very last hit of the song is just E.
Wow. All right, I'm going to have to go back and listen to it.
He snuck an E in there
for people to listen.
Yeah, he snuck an E in there, again, presuming that they were going to wind up using it for the show, and I guess he thought that might be... It didn't work. They didn't like it. They were not interested, but...
That's crazy. Matt, here's a fun fact about next week's episode.
Ooh.
Despite the fact that there are 5 songs left on this album, next week's episode is the last of the parodies. Which is unprecedented. I don't think we'll ever see it again where there are just 4 originals and polkas to wrap up an album. For Al, I think from this point on, he's pretty solid on his parody, original parody, original parody, original format.
Yeah.
But this is it's the last song he recorded for the entire album. So
the last one.
Stay tuned for that, I guess.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.